Lake McBride. I look up from the table and out onto the lake. It is early winter and unusually warm. Even in the December woods by the lake in Iowa, there is danger of fire because of the heat and the lack of rain, so much so that the forest crews are thinning the ironwood, the elm, the hackberry, the autumn olive, the honeysuckle from under power lines and in the densest areas of the forest. Everyone is afraid because the West is burning. The new openness of the forest, along with the fallen leaves, gives a feeling that distance is in fact much nearer than I'd understood. It is the time of the year when the bald eagles return and soar in pairs, and the red-tailed hawks and the barred owls perch lower and lower to the ground in search of prey, even during the daylight. In quietude, I feel I am everywhere at once, my own body rehearsing its wintering act too. I look up from the table to the far side of the lake to see a buck limping, his hind legs 16th notes in the dry leaves. From far off, a shot sounds like an encyclopedia falling to a wooden floor and like the echo of its striking. As the buck turns his strong brown neck back toward his herd, it's as though the honey locust tree, covered in thorns, reaches out to entangle him. Suddenly, the forest on the other side of the lake where the buck stands trapped looks as though it were across this wide earth. I know if I paddle that distance in a canoe, I will never arrive in time to save him. While another shot rings out, the buck with a jump is set loose from the tree and limps deeper into the woods with the honey locust crown still affixed around the 8 points of his antlers, and I'm in the middle of the lake pulling the oars of my canoe where the afternoon light glistens into a bright elsewhere, however brilliant, however brief.